Ladies and gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive Through HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. And today we have a fantastic guest joining with us, an entrepreneur, a CEO of Take the Interview, Daniel Weinblatt. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, glad to have you here with us at Drive Through HR. I know you are busy right after you finished your session at HR Florida and taking your lunch break currently, and we are talking at Drive Through HR. How fun is that?
Yeah, it's been great. It's a great conference. I think they have 1,500 people here. It's one of the, I think, largest breakout conferences for SHRM, and there have been some great attendees, so I'm excited to be here.
Great. So before we talk more about the session that you covered at HR Florida and what's keeping you up at night, let's kick off the show by giving a brief intro so that our audience can learn more about you.
Okay, great. So basically I'm the CEO and co-founder of Take the Interview. Take the Interview, obviously, is an interview management platform that solves challenges associated with the interview process. Prior to that, I've had experience in with private equity, working with portfolio companies, and also on the business side. So, my background has been predominantly as a hiring manager, although I've been actively recruiting great leaders for my organization since the very beginning. And that's pretty much it. Take the Interview's headquartered in New York City, but right now I am, like I said, calling in from Orlando, Florida.
Wow, wonderful to hear. So you are the CEO of Take the Interview, the woman in technology industry, and an entrepreneur, a leader. So what's keeping you up at night these days, Daniel?
Well, I think one of the things that always keeps me up at night is ensuring that we are retaining the great talent that we've recruited. So our organization has grown substantially in the past few years. We've been constantly hiring people, particularly on the engineering side, sales side, professional services side of our organization. And so I think one of the things that really keeps me up at night is making sure that even as our organization starts to scale and starts to grow, that we're still abiding by the principles and the values that made us so successful to begin with. I think one of the biggest things is making sure that we maintain the quality and the responsiveness and the service we're providing to our clients, as well as making sure that we're not losing ourselves as we scale our culture. So those are some of the things that I think about. I think they're just growing pains of scaling an organization I have to be cognizant of as we, continue to grow the company. So that's what keeps me up at night, making sure that my employees and my clients are happy.
Wow, that is so great. So how do you actually make sure that you are retaining that best talent within the organization? And especially, what would be the advice that you would want to give to our audience when it comes to retaining the talent?
So I employ mostly millennial generation candidates, or employees. So, and that's typically what I have experience recruiting. So I think one of the biggest things about retaining these people, retaining this generation, is always making sure that they feel as though they're attached to a mission, they're attached to a greater purpose. So I think it's always important to be communicating the values, celebrating the wins, even if they are small wins. I believe that everyone needs to feel connected to the end game, constantly communicating the vision and where we see the company going. I think those are really important pieces of keeping people engaged. I think another way to retain great talent, particularly in this generation, is to constantly challenge and constantly stretch the people that work at your company. We create opportunities for people to seek ongoing education and it can be across our company, so it doesn't have to even be in your field or in your area of expertise. So a good example is that a member of our sales development team, Michelle, gave her an opportunity to take a course at General Assembly on digital marketing. And she's getting promoted to a marketing manager role this fall. So, giving people an opportunity to expand outside their comfort zone, constantly challenging, giving them the education that they need to pursue the things that they're interested in, as well as always communicating the mission, I think that retains people. And then I think, that builds a great culture. It's a culture where people want to stay, and it becomes more of a family than it does a firm that you just work for.
So when you are, I know most of your employees are millennials, so let's talk about attracting the millennials to your organization. What were some of the strategies that worked for you and you would suggest to our audience when it comes to attracting those millennial talent out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the cool things that our CTO, Anthony, actually did was develop not just a cool section of our website to accept applications, but he created a company culture blog so that people could just post on it. They could listen to what, our company is listening to on SoundDrop. They could understand what we care about, what inspires us. So I think it's things like that. People, of that generation, they really want to understand that you are making it a fun work environment and that, today, a lot of times, the professional and personal, it's blurring, the lines are being blurred. So I think people not only want to work for a company that's doing amazing things, but they want to work with people who they know they can go out and grab a drink with after work. And so I think that was really great of him to create a company culture blog in addition to our career site. Another thing that we do to attract millennials is setting up conferences and setting up hackathons and setting up events and also speaking at events where we know talented individuals will actually be present. So I'll often speak in the tech community and so will my CTO, and that's also how we've been able to attract great talent. They tend to want to go to events. People like to hang out with other like-minded people. And so making those special events a priority and making sure that we're out there and we're present on the New York City tech scene has been a really important part of our recruitment strategy.
So that is something different than what we were doing as the part of traditional recruiting, right? So when we have all these technological advances and now social media is there, so what are some interview tips and techniques with the help of technology that you guys are doing out there when it comes to interviewing millennials?
Interviewing tips and techniques? Well, I think it's always important to make it more of a dialogue. I think, the traditional way of interviewing, I think there are definitely benefits for following a specific framework and or model and definitely planning out your interview before you sit down with a candidate. But one of the things that I like to do during an interview is really just make it a two-way street. I think the old form of grilling a candidate for, call it 45 minutes to an hour and not leaving them an opportunity to ask questions is a poor way to actually establish a rapport with someone. So for the longest time, we've been making it much more of an interactive communication. It's definitely about exploring their background. It's definitely about, leveraging our technology internally to understand who a candidate is before we invite them in for an in-person interview. But I think it's more about the candidate and what they need to know about the role. That's been really helpful. Another thing that we do that I think a lot of millennial generation candidates tend to respond to is the role play. So depending on the position, whether it's a technical position where we want someone to put together a project or present something, or it's a role play if it's a member of our business development team, I think those have been really beneficial for us to evaluate whether someone is adaptable, whether someone is really passionate about the role, whether they've done their research about our company before they've even sat down in front of us. So those are a couple of the tactics that we've used that we've found to be really successful in bringing people on.
So these are really great points right now. You said exploring that candidate's background and letting them know about the role, and mostly identifying their behavior is going to be a culture fit for the organization, right? So
yep.
How do you kind of trouble when it comes to explaining the candidate how it's going to be the culture within the organization? So how do you want the recruiters to let the candidates know that this is going to be the culture of this organization that we are looking for?
So just to clarify the question, so you want to understand a little bit better, how do we interact with members of our recruiting team to make sure that we're communicating culture properly to candidates? Is that what you're trying to understand?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a big believer. I've always been a big believer of making any member of your team, not just the manager, but also a recruiter themselves. I know it's very difficult to do that, but we definitely make sure that everybody internally is actively, tapping their network, recruiting candidates on their own for specific key roles. If we don't have candidates through employee referrals, you know, we definitely will engage, someone to help us. But in those circumstances, we've developed more strategic partners. We've developed, people who understand our organization, who can, talk about our core values. You know, I think, corporate recruiters are incredible culture ambassadors. I think that's really one piece of their role and a really important aspect of what they do. So, I think relying less on agencies and more on your in-house recruiters who sit there, live, breathe, and understand, what you're trying to accomplish day to day, that's super important. If you do leverage agencies, developing relationships with ones that you view as partners and you understand what you're trying to accomplish. And then obviously, lastly, making sure that you're leveraging employee referrals because, there's no better articulator of what the culture is like and what the position is like than someone who currently works for you who's in that role. So that's how we, start to bridge the gap between recruiting and communicating the culture, internally.
So recruiters are really the brand ambassadors of the organization, and every employee are every employee is a recruiter themselves. So how do you get your employees to kind of talk about your brand and attract best talent among their network?
We do it very organically. I think when you have a company that people enjoy working for, they tend to talk about how amazing their experience has been. I mean, we were out recently. It was a member of our team's birthday. I guess this was maybe it was a couple months ago, and someone came up to me and said, are you the founder of this business? Because every single person I've met worked for this company, and they keep talking about how great it is and how they love what they're doing and how what they're doing is changing the way organizations hire candidates. So I think it's, if you build a great organization, if you build a great culture, if you make every single day a challenging day and also you cultivate a great work environment, people will naturally talk about what it's like to work at your business in a very genuine way. I do not believe in forcing people to do things that they don't feel comfortable doing. You know, I think incentives are important. I definitely, you know, believe in employee referral bonuses and programs. I think there's some great technologies out there that foster employee referrals, and I think, you know, people should consider them. But really, at the end of the day, there's no formula to it other than just creating a great work environment. I mean, we spend the majority of our waking lives at work. And so we need to think about, you know, the choices that we make and the people that are around us and the type of organization we want to build. And then that's really, truly the only way to get your employees to be great recruiters and great brand ambassadors.
So we have a great workplace and great culture out there, and you help your clients in using digital, social, and mobile to kind of elevate that brand and communicate that employer brand to the communities. So what it really takes to become authentic or to become true while branding? Because, you know, we can see most of the videos that are on YouTube mostly are fun and engaging, but chances are there when an employee steps into that organization, experience might be wrong. So what do you recommend to the audience when it comes to being true to the branding while they are doing any sort of campaigns?
I think in order to be authentic, you need people to tell you the real stories, both good and bad. I think too many people are afraid of the bad and afraid of the things that, you know, you call it the elephant in the room. I mean, if you're an organization where there's high attrition, you need to make sure that you address that head on. If you're an organization where people tend to get, you know, pushed out, or there aren't, you know, opportunities for, you know, lateral movement after a few years, I mean, I think these are things that you need to consider. So, you know, in order to be authentic, you need to have a very objective stance about what you're doing and what people are saying about your organization and the employment opportunities. So once you have, maybe it's, you know, a holistic view of what's going on, whether that's be through employee surveys, looking at the candidate experience. I know that, you know, obviously Jerry Crispin and Elaine Orler's whole series of, you know, candidate experience surveys have been really critical to help organizations and shed some light on areas for improvement. I mean, whether you're doing surveys for candidates that are coming into your organization and going through your hiring process, or these are candidates who have actually been hired by your company and now are existing employees, I think you need to take stock of what's going on. And then in order to be authentic, you definitely need to think about what are the things that make us unique. What are the things that make us, how do we do what we do versus what we do? And then ultimately you need to drill down to why you do it, right? It's sort of the essence of your organization and what your organization's purpose is. And then on the flip side, you know, addressing the things that people say negatively about your organization and fixing them, either being able to, you know, coming up with strategy and fixing the things that people aren't happy with, or embracing the things that you don't have the ability to change that may be viewed as negative, and explaining why it's a part of who you are. So those are some of the strategies that I would recommend for any organization that's trying to develop an authentic brand. You know, you have to be who you are. You can't try and replicate someone else's brand strategy. That will be very evident if you try and do something like that.
Well, while we were talking about candidate experience, let's segue to that area of our recruiting. So you really help your client using the technology when it comes to doing international recruiting or doing the recruitment within your office, not doing any kind of a traveling, right? So how do you think this candidate experience is going to impact regardless of which part of the world or which part of the culture this candidate is coming from. Did you have any sort of challenges when it comes to interacting and providing a better candidate experience when the candidates are from different parts of the world?
I mean, you should always consider a candidate's experience when they're in another part of the world. I mean, I think one of the biggest things is understanding the cultural differences between who's interviewing that candidate and the candidate, the candidate themselves. And so I think making sure that you're aligning the appropriate person to interview a candidate who's international is really important. Obviously, ensuring that the technology works and makes sense. Obviously, I'm a big proponent of video and leveraging video technology to screen candidates. Anybody that knows what our company does understands that there are ways to streamline this process and make it more efficient. And also get back to candidates a lot faster utilizing some of our collaboration tools. So, you know, definitely using the right type of technology that works really well, even in situations where the bandwidth isn't optimal. I think that's one way to improve the candidate experience. I think also, you know, I spoke about this today, it's really understanding the behavioral-based interview. And so, you know, the stats have shown that leveraging behavioral-based interviews make it 55% more likely to determine if someone will perform better on a job than using traditional interview formats. So, you know, thinking about what does it mean to conduct a behavioral-based interview with someone who is not from the same background, someone who's not necessarily accustomed to U.S. Cultural values, I think is really important. So, you know, thinking about the structure of that interview differently, you know, a good example is the fact that in the U.S., we tend to be big self-promoters. It's very much more of an I philosophy. It's much more individualistic, whereas in many other cultures, Latin America, Europe, Asian cultures, it's definitely much more about the team. It's more about how we were empowered to get things done, how we took into account personal matters of each team member and were able to accomplish our goals in the context of family and relationships and others and deliver, you know, within certain parameters. It's less about deadlines and, you know, less about the I and more about the we and cultivating, you know, influence in the context of a community. So, you know, understanding those things, particularly when you're designing your behavioral-based interviews, I think is really, really important. One of the things that we've done in our live interviewing tool is we've set up a crib sheet, so a way for organizations to pre-populate questions for managers in that area so that when they're actually conducting the interview, they actually have almost like a cheat sheet that they can refer to. So it will suggest key questions for that interviewer during the interview. So I think in those circumstances, having something like that adapts itself to different cultures and adapts the format of the behavioral-based interview for international recruiting, I think that could be really helpful in certain circumstances. And then just overall cultural awareness. You know, I think it's really important to study different cultures, understand the behavioral differences, understand, who and why this person wants to work at your business, what is their motivation? I think those are some of the ways in which you can make the overall experience much better.
Well, those are interesting tips right there. And while you were talking about behavior-based interviews, this is going to be an age-old question, but then it is really fascinating to hear how our guests are responding to this. Culture fit versus competencies. Which one is more important, and what do you want to tell to our audience, especially the recruiters? What should they focus, culture fit or competence?
So I don't think you can decouple them. I know it's sort of it might be more of a canned answer, but you have to have someone who at least is motivated to build competence. So let me rephrase. So I think in general, I think every organization has values. And so whether you define understanding values and being able to accept those values as your own, I think that may not necessarily be the same thing as cultural fit. I think it's really important, paramount, not even really important, it's paramount that any candidate that gets an offer to work at your firm understands what your company's values are. And then in the context of competency, I think it's more important for people to aspire to have the competence level or have the ability to seek out that competence than necessarily have that competence today. So what I mean by that is that sometimes there are people that, you know, may have strengths in certain areas that are important for the role and may have weaknesses. I think one of our roles as an organization is to help cultivate certain high-performing people or people who have the motivation to get better, to cultivate people who may be, you know, weaker in some areas as long as they subscribe to our company's values. So if I was going to weight them, I would say company culture / value system is probably 60% of it, and then having the basis for the competencies and or the aspiration to achieve those competencies is probably 40% of it. And that's really how we recruited our firm. It's much more important that someone is excited about the opportunity and willing to dig in and really learn what it takes to be successful at the role versus, you know, I'd rather have someone do that versus someone who is a prior, you know, high-performing individual with extensive experience who was less enthralled by our value system.
Well, Daniel, we have about 2 minutes left at this point, and I really wanted to get your take on are some of the best practices that you do or suggest to our audience when it comes to international recruiting?
Some of the best practices? Well, I think mm-hmm. I mentioned a lot of them before. I think it's, you know, again, developing awareness about various cultures, you know, setting up the right technology, making sure that we're aware that behavioral-based interviewing doesn't translate across different cultures and adapting our framework, learning how to, you know, be sensitive to other people's differences and interviewing styles and behaviors. And I think overall making sure that feedback is timely. And that is for any type of interview and any type of situation. I think making sure that candidates are aware of where they are in the process and making sure that we deliver transparent feedback to them as fast as possible, I think those are ways in which we can be better at recruiting just in general.
Well, thank you so much, Daniel, for joining with us and sharing, literally sharing your lunch time, because I know you are at HR Florida right after you finished your session and at your hotel taking your lunch break. So thank you so much for sharing thoughtful insights with our audience. So where can our audience connect with you and get a hold of you?
Sure. If people want to contact me, they can reach me on LinkedIn. So tell them to connect with me, Danielle Weinblatt, CEO of Take the Interview. Or they can follow me on Twitter at D Weinblatt. DWEINBLATT. I'm pretty responsive to any tweets or messages. So both of those are great ways to stay in touch and or follow up with me, disagree with me, comment on anything I had to say today.
Well, thanks, Daniel. Have a wonderful rest of the day, and we look forward to having a conversation again soon.
All right. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Well, that's all. Bye-bye, folks. We'll talk to you all tomorrow.